Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Peter Schweitzer. He's the New York Times bestselling author of Clinton Cash, and he is also with Breitbart, and he is out with a brand new book that is soaring through the New York Times bestseller list, as his books tend to do. This is Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Harper. Peter, you put this book together, obviously a play on the Profiles in Courage by then-Senator John Kennedy in the 1960s, but this book, you kind of take us through several of the people in what you describe as the progressive elite. They're all Democrats. And show us the scandals. So who is this book going to be more useful for, the general public, President Trump in a general election, or the Democrats as they battle through the primaries?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, actually. I think that in general, I think all of our leaders need to be held into account. So that includes President Trump. I just think that the coverage has been so singularly focused on him. It almost functions like the total eclipse of the sun. It blocks out other coverage. So I think the general public will find it of interest. Obviously, Trump supporters will like it. But I also think Democrats, benefit from this book being released now. I mean, I have Trump supporters telling me, oh, you should have saved this stuff. You know, wait until somebody's picked and then come out with this stuff. That's really not my role and purpose. I think there's benefit for Democrats for this stuff to come out early so people are aware of what, you know, possible vulnerabilities are or challenges that candidates might have.
Some of the seeds that you've touched on in this book could blow up into potential huge scandals in a general election. Do we generally see that, though, historically in primary elections where these scandals will come about in full force?
No, I think oftentimes, they get a cursory look, and I think part of the challenge of that is in the modern media cycle, there's not the resources to do deep investigative work that there used to be. I mean, great icons like 60 Minutes just don't simply have the manpower that they used to have. I think the other problem is that there's very much with the media kind of a horse race mentality. There's a focus on the latest jockeying of positions rather than really looking at the substantive issues, challenges that they face.
A good friend of mine I met a few years ago moved to Iowa from Vermont, and he told me when he moved here, he told me about this Burlington College scandal involving Bernie Sanders and his wife Jane Sanders, the president. Can you kind of take us through that scandal? Because I think this has the potential to really turn a few heads if Bernie Sanders ends up making it through to the Democratic nomination.
Yeah, I mean, Jane Sanders' wife is appointed head of Burlington College. We know from the Board of Trustees that part of the reason she was picked, one of the main reasons, was because her husband was a U.S. senator and was deemed to be able to help them with connections and whatnot, which is all fine. The problem is that Jane Sanders ran the college into the ground. She took out loans for the college. She wanted to expand the college, but she clearly lied on those applications, claiming that she had donors lined up that were going to write million-dollar checks who did not line up and write million-dollar checks. And then you had the added problem that as the college is sinking, she is funneling $500,000 to a woodworking school, an unaccredited woodworking school, run by her own daughter. And it's unclear whether the college board of directors even approved of that deal. I mean, this is a college that, you know, the budget was a couple of $1 million, and $500,000 of that is going to her daughter's woodworking school. So there are all kinds of troubling aspects of it, and this is a pattern that you find with Bernie Sanders and his family, and that is that whether it's when he was mayor of Burlington, Vermont, and he hired his then-girlfriend, later wife, Jane, or the objections of the city council, or whether it's his campaign where he made his wife the media buyer so that she could pick up commission fees. There's this pattern within the Sanders family of funneling money to the benefit of the family.
You mentioned the media buyer thing, and that's something I admit I've never heard of until I read it in your book about how candidates will do this. And I don't think it's limited just to the Sanders family, but they appoint their spouse or somebody close to them to buy media ads and then essentially make money off the campaign, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, if you do, say, $1 million, you're running for the Senate, and you spend $1 million on TV ads, the media buyer It gets a commission anywhere from maybe 10% or 15%. And the problem in the Sanders case was that, you know, Jane had no background in advertising. She had no background in media buying. So, I mean, this was just a major, 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 move to benefit the family financially.
You also dive into the Joe Biden situation with respect to Hunter Biden, which we've heard about ad nauseum. And ironically, the only thing that's come of that so far is the impeachment of the sitting president. But when you put this chapter together, it seems like there's a heck of a lot more scandals involving people other than Hunter Biden in that Biden family.
Yeah, it seems to have been a pattern in the family. I've never seen this with one political figure before, where you actually have five family members that cashed in and benefited from the public service of one individual. But you have that with Hunter Biden, which people already know somewhat about. You have Frank Biden, his brother, James Biden, his other brother, his sister Valerie, and his daughter, particularly his son-in-law, who's married to his daughter, all benefited from the public service that Joe Biden had. It's a very troublesome issue.
I'm chatting with Peter Schweizer about his new book, Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. You can also go check out all of Peter's other books. They're still available. They were New York Times bestsellers, Clinton Cash being the latest before this one. It seems like, as a journalist, when you write a book like this that's so timely and you have to be, you know, you have to try to keep up with the news by putting it out, even though you've been working on it for a while, I don't know if you could have anticipated Mike Bloomberg getting into the race at this particular stage. And, you know, there's probably plenty of fodder for an entire book on him, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Absolutely. Anytime you have a powerful figure that's worth, what, you know, $55, $65 billion, who's been mayor of New York, I'm sure that there are lots of issues that are there. I think Bloomberg represents this interesting phenomenon that sort of, you know, feeds my point that people are very concerned and frustrated about corruption and about, you know, politicians being for sale or at least for rent. That was part of, I think, Trump's appeal to his supporters in 2016. And I think that's part of the Bloomberg supporters here, because Michael Bloomberg has said, I'm not taking any campaign donations. I'm going to finance my own campaign. And that's refreshing to people. It doesn't mean that there aren't other issues there, aren't other issues that need to be addressed and dealt with, but it does reflect, to my mind, a growing anxiety and frustration that people have with corruption in Washington, D.C., and Bloomberg is obviously going to try to feed off of that, as Donald Trump did in 2016.
Is it like shooting fish in a barrel when you look for corruption involving anyone who's risen to the level of United States Senator?
It is and it isn't. I mean, one of the things I always try to caution people against is don't fall into the mentality that everybody does it. Because not everybody does it. There are good people on the Democrat side, good people on the Republican side, who, you know, you may agree or disagree with their political views, but do not engage in this kind of self-enrichment behavior. The problem is that there's a lot of people that do, and you have kind of this mutual non-aggression pact between them. I mean, you would think, for example, in the case of Joe Biden's son and his dealings in Ukraine and elsewhere, that Republicans would be jumping all over it. Some of them are, but some of them aren't. And I think, frankly, some of the reasons that those individuals are silent have to do with the fact that either their families engaged in similar type of behavior or they aspire to engage in similar types of behavior. So it's very, very difficult. But I always caution people, don't become cynical and think everybody does it, because they do not. There are good, honest people on both sides of the aisle.
Could there be a reason that people have leaving Biden alone on this, the fact that he's barely moving the needle in the caucus and primary that we've seen so far?
It's possible, but I think, honestly, if you look at some of the polling, I think part of the reason that his campaign is not doing well is precisely because of the scandal of his son. The Hill newspaper, for example, did a poll a couple weeks ago where, of Democrat primary voters, 40% of those voters believed that Joe Biden needed to answer, you know, difficult questions about his son's business dealings. So I think there's always going to be a question about cause and effect. But in my mind, people on both sides of the aisle care about corruption. And when there are scandals or perceived scandals that develop with a particular candidate, those things matter to people. And I think one of the reasons that Joe Biden is struggling is because of these scandals. I mean, you know, some people felt that Joe Biden was dropping in the polls because he was too moderate, and you had Bernie and Elizabeth Warren further to the left. Well, you know, Mike Bloomberg is surging in the polls, and he's running as a moderate. I think this scandal has really hurt Joe Biden's standing.
Speaking of moderate, Amy Klobuchar is from our neck of the woods here, Senator from Minnesota, and she's seen in the national media, she's portrayed as a moderate, and you point out in this book that that's hardly the case.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's very interesting. She votes with Bernie Sanders 88% of the time, which is pretty interesting. But at the same time, and this is a paradox, she is the third largest recipient of corporate PAC donations of anybody in the entire U.S. Senate. And you sort of wonder, how do you straddle those two things? And the answer is, you know, I argue that she practices a very virulent form of crony capitalism. And what do I mean by that? Well, what she essentially does is she collects donations, say a couple of dozen executives from one single company will donate to her campaign. And then in a couple of weeks, she'll introduce legislation on the Senate floor that benefits that particular company. That's very attractive to corporations who want favors in Washington, D.C. And if you're like Amy Klobuchar and you don't have a problem with that, it can be very lucrative for your campaign. And I think that's what she's done.
You know, it's funny. When your books come out, I see them always written up in the media. Sometimes there's some reviews from some websites or newspaper publications, but most of the time it's news organizations trying to discredit something you've written in the book. And you don't see that with when somebody writes a puff piece, but as you do this, you have to keep that in mind when you're doing your research that this is going to be gone over with a fine-tooth comb, and it's usually a tiny detail that they pounce on like it's some big deal. Has that been your experience as you've written over the years?
Yes, no, that's exactly right. I mean, it's one of the reasons that, you know, on my staff, we have two fact checkers. And what people find in this book and in my other books is I don't use anonymous sources. I don't really quote people unless it's verified independently with a legitimate news source. So in Profiles in Corruption, I mean, I've got more than 1,200 footnotes. And they're all from either court cases, their corporate records, their financial records. Some of them overseas. The point being, there's a paper trail for everything that I write. It's not speculation. And yes, they're going to try to say, no, the sun didn't rise at you know, 6:15 a.m. It rose at, you know, 6:21 a.m. It's incorrect. But nobody has challenged, for example, in the Hunter Biden case, nobody has challenged the amount of money he got paid, when he got paid, the fact that he lacked any qualifications. All of that is absolutely has been unchallenged, and I think that speaks to the quality of the work that my research team does.
Well, I thought about that as I read earlier this year the book A Very Stable Genius by a couple Washington Post reporters, and they used anonymous sources throughout the entire book, and the media has jumped on this as everything they said is gospel, and they get away with it by saying, well, we needed to use anonymous sources or we can't have people talk. You don't use anonymous sources, and you still put out books, so are you doing something that they're not to get people to talk or to get these stories by hard evidence to back it up?
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem with anonymous sources. First of all, you have to take the reporter at face value that this source is who they say they are, you know, that they're legitimate but then also an anonymous source, you have to assume that the anonymous source is actually telling you something that's true. And if they know it's going to be anonymous, it's a lot easier to exaggerate things or spin things or you know, get more excited about things. So, yeah, we don't use anonymous sources. I don't think you have to use anonymous sources. I think you have to take them with a grain of salt. I had experiences with anonymous sources 25 years ago where, you know, essentially they exaggerated things. It's the reason I stopped using them. And what we do is forensic research, very detailed forensic research, and I think that's the best way because you're dealing with a court document. When we talk about Elizabeth Warren and how she cashed in on her government service as a government consultant in the 1990s, it's actually based on her own legal depositions in court cases. There's nothing to substitute for that. So we're very proud of the work we do and how we do it.
Something I found interesting is when I opened the book first and looked through the table of contents, I thought, oh, it's just going to all be United States senators. But then I see Eric Garcetti in there, mayor of Los Angeles. What was your idea for putting him into this book when he may not be as nationally known a figure to a lot of people, especially here in the Midwest?
Yeah, we wanted to have layers of people at different levels of government, obviously federal officials like U.S. senators. We have Joe Biden, who's vice president. But mayors have a lot of power, and they can pull those levers in powerful ways. And Eric Garcetti, even though he's mayor of Los Angeles, is a national figure in the progressive movement. He has a lot of influence with other mayors. So it is not It is not simply a regional story when you look at Eric Garcetti. It relates directly to a very powerful figure who has a big influence on our national politics, whether we know it or not.
All right, the book is Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite by Peter Schweizer. He's the New York Times bestselling author, and he's got a lot of books out there. This happens to be his latest one, and it's just a very fantastic and interesting read. Peter, thanks for sharing some time with us today.
Great, thanks so much for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Wiesler. We will be back next time.